Aren't the young people in our church just, what's the word? Inspirational? Huh? Edifying? They are. Spirit-filled, encouraging. Wow, beautiful. Did you know the names of these ladies that sang? We have to have them take their shoes off to find out what their name. Pastor Love, did you believe the story that he told? Somehow I didn't believe it, but it was funny. It was very funny. It was good, wasn't it? I'm going to run the microphone over to a couple guys over here and ask them a question. We had in our chapel tonight on the spiritual disciplines of a Bible college student, and we went over four disciplines, and it was a good time, stirred my heart. And the first one, being God conscious, being spirit filled, being conscious of God, approaching a challenge with God, being spirit filled. We are back in our fall schedule, and there is a hurricane coming. Huh? So Debbie and Renee Villeneuve live down there. So what are we doing about it? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. But I called Pastor Ken Fires and asked him in Miami, what could we do for you? And he said, you know, we've been through this many times. We're okay. Keep us in prayer. But we're just going to go through it, and it'll be, you know. So he had a great attitude, and I wanted just to say, keep them, you know, prayer and love and everything we approach, if we can walk in life with God consciousness, being spirit-filled, right? Acts 1:8. So I'm going to ask, put them on the spot. They're used to it. What does it mean in a few words? What does it mean to be spirit-filled? And we can start with, what's your name again? Did you take your shoes off?
Yeah. To be spirit-filled, to be under the control, complete control of the Holy Spirit.
Great. Pastor Shabelli.
You took my answer. What's your name? I believe if you're spirit-filled in Colossians 3 and then Word of God-filled in Ephesians 5 and Colossians 3, if I'm spirit-filled, it means I'm under the control, as he said, of the Holy Spirit, led by the Spirit. The Spirit's helping me to make decisions. And I would say that if the Spirit wrote the Bible, then I would love the Bible. I would be learning to love the Bible.
Pastor Steve.
I would say being spirit-filled is to be like a child before the Lord and appreciating the wonder of God, the wonder of His Word, and just recognizing that that we need Him for all wisdom at all times. And we can ask Him. It's free. It's just we're not spirit-filled. It's because we don't ask.
What do we do with our jealousy, our envy, or our guilt, or our hatred, or confusion when we are in that state of mind? What do we do?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, David's pattern was to make a song out of it. Sing it before the Lord and just release it, and it's gone. That would be one thing. Make your complaint known unto the Lord. And there's only one being in the universe that can handle all of our stuff. It's Him.
Oh, awesome. Isn't that good? All right, so I just believe, and I mean, and we all do this, that He is the initiator. God is the primary initiator. And we respond, don't we? We have a Finnish missionary here. Do we have Pirjo? Where is she? Aire. Oh, okay, here. Okay, let's do this. All right. We have Jacob. Let's do this in order. Jacob, would you stand up for a second? Okay, Jacob is from Ethiopia. And he told me, and he's here in the church, and he told me that a Finnish missionary that's been living in Ethiopia 53 years is visiting Maryland. And this is Airi right here. She's from Heinola, Finland. Wow, amazing. Okay, so now her story is amazing. Because her parents, when she was 3 years old, they had a vision to be missionaries in Ethiopia. And so they moved to Canada to make money and save money so they could go to Ethiopia as missionaries. And her parents were evangelists, and they handed out tracts, and they went from village to village to evangelize. In Airi, so they were in Canada 7 years. So Airi was 10 years old when they left Canada. And when they went to Ethiopia, her parents going village to village, preaching about Jesus Christ. And then Airi, when she was 16 years old, a teenager, she got this idea to have an orphanage. So she started an orphanage. Isn't that amazing? And 480 children have been through her orphanage. And a few of them live here in Maryland and invited her to come. The children have grown up. They're adults. They live here in Maryland. And then this brother, I forgot your name, sir. Mikiel. Oh, Malachi. Malachi. Malachi in Italian. Okay. And you're a pastor, is that right? Okay, so would you stand just for a second? Okay, this is Pastor Malachi, and he... Were you in her orphanage? Yeah, he was an orphan boy in Ethiopia, in her orphanage. Wow, isn't that a beautiful story? And they're here tonight. Thank you so much. It's so good. Now, at the lunchtime, at the wrap today, we had them share. And tonight, after the service, we're going to do the same thing in the cafe. So if you want to hear more about it. But I want you to think about it. What happens when we are spirit-filled? What happens when God is the initiator and we respond and walk with him? And the Lord speaks to our hearts from this book. And I want to say that when we are taught the Bible and we respond to God in our hearts with the Bible, then the Holy Spirit anoints us and we are God's anointed. And we have courage and we have faith. Because I think a Finnish family saying we're going to Canada, making money, moving to Ethiopia to evangelize and do this by faith is pretty remarkable. But that's what we're talking about. Nobody here actually is able to do what it is that God wants us to do. It's the Holy Spirit that has us live this new life. It's the Holy Spirit that has us in our faith to be stirred up in faith response to God, responding in our heart to God and what he says. Being spirit taught, spirit edified. But we also said for a few minutes at the lunchtime, the Ethiopian brothers said, thousands of people have come to Christ through this ministry, these people. Like the villages, people have become believers in Christ. And then, you know, in their history in Ethiopia, there was communism. And they persecuted Christians. And we had an Ethiopian sister, Mezrek, in Sweden, who was a refugee and a great believer. But I say that to say it's growing and the Spirit is moving. But what generally happens to all of us when we do not have Bible teaching, when we don't have grace teaching and finished work teaching, but we become legalistic. And in our flesh, we become Christians. In our flesh, we do our duty. In our flesh, we live our life. But we lack joy. We lack love. We lack grace. Because it is the Holy Spirit that brings the grace of God, the love of God, into our hearts. And so we need to be fed and edified and realize the nature of God. Oh, this is good. God's nature. God is love. Say to yourself, God loves me. Say it out loud. God loves me. Well, let's even go further. Turn to your neighbor and say, God loves you. That's even more unbelievable. I can understand God loving me, but I can hardly believe that God would love you. But he does. God loves me. God is for me. And God loves us. And God loves the people in Ethiopia. And God has a plan. And we are Spirit-filled. Let me repeat it. This is simple. He initiates. What does he initiate toward us? But truth, love, wisdom. He initiates to us, and we respond and walk with him. Many years ago, I remember Dr. Stevens' first year of Bible college. He said, when you wake up in the morning, quote John 3:16. And he said, don't just quote it mechanically, but quote it in your heart and in faith. For God so loved, and stop there. God. Wait a minute. God so loved. God is love. God loves. God so loved the world. Everyone in the world, everyone on the earth, every person that has ever lived, God loves. And he said, walk around in your room a little bit and become God conscious and think of God and put all your stuff away and make a big deal about God and respond to God and say, God, you love. You love so much you gave your son. Let me be involved in that. I'm involved in that. Fill me with your Spirit. You so love the world you gave your son that whoever believes in him, evangelism, whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Salvations, people coming, people being filled with the Spirit, people growing in the faith, people turning to Christ. Remember, we have this prayer for our church to grow, our church to increase, our church to have depth, our church to have a lot of love, our church to have faith, our church to know the character of God, our church to believe that we can change God's mind. And that's our message tonight. I can't do a good job with it tonight in one sense because the iPad and the list of what God does not change, God never changes, God does not change, he's immutable. On the other side of the list, God changes. God changes. Theologically, it's a great lesson. God does not change regarding Israel and his covenants. But God does change when it comes to mercy, when it comes to taking judgment away. It says in Jeremiah 15:6, he said, I am even tired of all my repenting. God said it. I want you to read it with me, John 15. I'm going to be short and choppy, I think, tonight in our message. But you can follow it with me. Jeremiah 15:6. Thou hast forsaken me, saith the Lord. Thou art gone backward. Therefore will I stretch out my hand against you and destroy you. I am weary with repenting. God is tired of changing and repenting. Because he's going to judge them, then they say their prayers and they plead with God and he changes. He's going to judge them and then they turn to God for a little period of time and he changes. And he changes. He does change. And you say, Pastor, no, he cannot change. He's God. He knows the end from the beginning. He's not confused. I'm saying, I understand what you're saying, but I want you to listen to what I'm saying tonight for a change. I want you to hear what I have to say about it. That God changes. I love it. I think it's amazing. God changes. Look at example number one, Hezekiah, Isaiah chapter 38. It's beautiful. And again, this would be part, this is just one message, and there could be a number on it because we have a lot of questions, but follow it with me. Isaiah 38, verse 1, part B. Thus saith the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. You shall die and not live. 38, verse 1. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed. God changed his mind. You will die and not live. Hezekiah prayed. God, the prophet goes out the door, goes out in the courtyard. God says to the prophet, turn around, go back and tell him, I'll give him another 15 years. Stop your belly aching. I'll give you another 15 years. Okay? This means a lot to me. It means a lot to you. I love it. You cannot put God and figure it out in your systematic theology. Yes, we can put it in categories. He does not change regarding his covenants, that's for sure. But he does use the word as Nahum in the Hebrew, relenting, that he is changing, that God repented that he made the human race, it says in Genesis chapter 6. When he said to Moses, listen, get out of the way. I'm going to destroy the Jews and I'll make a new nation around you. I'm going to use you. You're going to live and make a new nation and that and so on. And Moses said, no, you cannot do that. And he changed his mind. You say, God can't change. Yes, he changed his mind. I don't care what you say. God changed his mind. That means a lot to me. People think of the world like billiard balls on a pool table. And it's just all mechanical and mathematical. Ding, 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 ding. Predestination and all the mechanical thinking about it. And the cold hearts and the people that say it cannot change. It cannot do anything about it. It is the way it is. The hurricane is coming up to Florida. Are you sure? Do you know? What if God said the hurricane will go to Florida? And what do you say? I'm saying you can change God's mind. You say you cannot change. I say you can. Huh? Okay, let's go to another one. Syrophoenician woman, Matthew 15. Turn there with me. I don't hear any pages turning. Turn with me. Isn't it there? Is it? Is there, there's Mark 7, there's Matthew 15. Yeah, verse 21. Matthew 15, 21. Jesus went. He parted into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast, cried to him, saying, have mercy on me, Lord. Thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. His disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away. She cries after us. But he answers, send her away. Get her out of here. She cries after. But he answers, I'm not sent unto the lost, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I'm reading it fast and disjointed on purpose just so that you'll follow me. Verse 25, then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. He answered, it is not meet for me to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Okay, I'm done. Goodbye, Lord. The hurricane's coming up through Florida. That's the way it is. You can't do a thing about it. Really? I got problems in my finances. I can't do anything. Thus, it will be as God will be. The Muslims say what? What do the Muslims say? It is the will of Allah, period. Can't do anything about it. Not in our faith. You can do something about it. Sister and brother, you can do something about it. We're talking about God. It's not a mechanical Swiss watch or a clock. It's a person who can change his mind. Yes, he can. And the more you know him, the more clear it is that he does not change and he changes. You get it? And I say, I agree with you. You cannot figure it out, but you got to get more flexible in your thinking because this is fun. When we have a living God that's like a person that you can have influence with, that's a lot of fun. You can do business with God. You can get right down at it. He goes, you're going to die today. No, God, he cried a lot, it said. He cried a lot. And the Lord said, okay, I changed. 15 more years. Really? You wimpy little God, you. That's how people say, and think about it. I'm not blaspheming him. I'm making a point. I'm very respectful regarding God. But some people say, you know, and the strength of a military general is more appealing to them. And God is like this. But I don't agree. Those people are easy to get. It's a function of temperament and personality, and they can be leaders like that. But I don't agree. I don't care about that. I care about a reality that is in tune with the heart and in tune with God and his love. God is a merciful God, and he loves mercy. And he loves to give mercy. And this woman who said, I don't care what you call me. You call me a dog, I'll take the scraps off the bottom of the table where everybody's feet are. That's okay. Throw me a bone, Lord. Throw me a bone. Because I know who you are. He was like, whoa, come on. We're doing business with God. Isn't that good? That's amazing. Lastly, go to 2 Samuel. You're saying, Pastor Shelley, we know it's not the last point. We know. We've been here long enough to know it's not the last point. Okay, go to 2 Samuel in chapter 12. And here's the last thing, boy, of this portion. Chapter 12, verse 14. Honestly, look at it. It goes, here, David has sinned with Bathsheba. Listen, if you have problems with adultery or sex, your sexuality and so on, you are in a good place in this church. Because as you listen, God will fill you with the Spirit. When you are broken and start to hear from God, he will set you free. And you will be free indeed on the inner man. I'm telling you, you have a future with our God. Our God is very merciful, very forgiving, very gracious. Our God fills us with the Spirit, and we learn to break bad habits. Bad habits. We cannot shake them. In our flesh, but in the Spirit, we are set free. In the finished work, we are liberated. Through the cross of Christ, we are set free from death into life. If you're sitting here and you say, I'm not a good student, yeah, you can become an excellent student by the Holy Spirit. Pastor Hadley wasn't a good student. Oops. Should I have said that? We don't know who he is anyway until he takes his shoes off. Many of us were not good students, but we got the filling of the Spirit, and the Spirit affected our study and our concentration, and we started to read this and get involved with it and get divine focus and concentration on God's presence. A lot of times, the presence of God takes the back seat to all of our distractions, but bad habits are broken by God. They really are. Let's read this. David has sinned with Bathsheba. Shouldn't have done it, but guess what? He was a sinner, as so are you. This sin could have been committed by you, has been committed by you, could be in the future committed by you. But we should all say, God forbid, Lord, keep me from such horrendous pain, horrendous, terrible consequences. Protect me from these sins of shame and debilitation. And I'm purposing in my heart, by God's grace, to respond to God, and He will deliver me. Let me just say one thing. Is Ed here? Ed, I want to just say one thing about you, okay? So I need you just to stand up for a second. Yeah, Ed Young. Is it Young? Is your last name? Is your last name John? Jones. Okay, Jones. Okay. You want to turn around for a second? Slowly. Okay. Very good. He said, when he got in some trouble, and this young man, he said, he just turned to God. He didn't know what to do. He got in a little bit of trouble, and he didn't know what to do. And he said, I just started praying every couple seconds. Is that right? Every couple seconds through the day. That's what I heard. Is that correct? Please say it's true. No, how did it go? Go ahead. Every couple minutes. Sorry. See how stories change? Soon it'll be every few decades. Okay. All right. So he prayed every couple minutes. He didn't know. He wasn't in a church. He didn't know what to do. But he went to God. And the guy is an amazing brother. God helped him. God answered the prayer. You see, the Christian life is not hard. Pray every couple minutes. Say, God, help me. And then 2 minutes later, Lord, help me. Fill me with your Spirit. I don't know how to pray. Oh, God, I don't know how to pray. God, teach me to pray. That's it. Every couple minutes, say a prayer. Pray without ceasing. What's so hard about it? Be Spirit-filled. Pray without ceasing. Learn to be thankful and everything. Then the Lord brought him here. And when we met him in footsteps, it was like awesome. And then his sister came. And I forgot your name. Adrian. Which is the greatest of the two? Adrian is the... She prays every couple. All right, so... You know what? God brought this family. I'm just wanting to say something here. That it's not hard, but it is necessary that we trust in God in our lives. And David was on the rooftop, and he saw a beautiful woman bathing. And I think she was involved in the whole thing too, where she was bathing, what she was doing, according to Pastor Ben's opinion in Israel when we were talking about it. In any case, God said to David, you're in a lot. You will not die. Look at verse 14. Because of this deed, you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. The child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. The baby born will die, was what God said. What did David say? What did David do? Look at verse 16. David therefore besought God for the child. Wait a minute. I thought God said he would die. He would surely die. David goes, yeah, I know he said that. But I know him. I can change his mind. I can pray. I know God. God is not like a cold, hard guy. The judgment comes down, and he loves judgment. God is a God of judgment. The judgment comes down, but that's only part of the story. Don't you know that if you say to God, do you know that he's a personal God, that he's a loving God, a merciful God, a forgiving God? And the child will surely die. David will say, yeah, I know he said that. But I can get a hold of God. I can ask him. I have not been walking with him for from the adultery to the present. But I've gotten, he has corrected me, and I know who he is. And I can ask, and believe me, he can answer. And if he wants to change that, he can do it. And I'm going to ask him for it, and I'm not going to give up. And he didn't. You know the story, probably. Look at verse 16. David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of the house arose, went to him to raise him up, but he would not, neither did he eat bread. And it came to pass on the seventh day the child died. See, God said he would die, and he died. Yeah, I know. But that's do you get the point? I know that he died. God said he would surely die, and he did. But in between that point and the time he said it and the time the child died, I had a window of opportunity and that I could go to God because I know the nature of God. I could believe God for it, and I could pray, and I could fast, and I can ask God. And after the child is dead, I am not ashamed about it because I know who God is. You get it? Let's finish it. It's verse 18. It came to pass, the servants of David feared to tell him the child was dead, but they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. No, he would not hearken unto your voice. No, he would not hearken unto your voice. That's a good point. I'm not saying the hurricane's not coming out through Florida, but I'm trying to give a point here. Hurricane is coming. No, it is not coming up through Florida. You know what I mean? It's maybe a bad illustration. It is coming up through, you know. But no, you get the idea. I mean, against all odds, we are talking about God. God can change the heart of a king. God can change the heart of a person. God can change the heart of an unbeliever. God can draw an unbeliever into this amazing gift. God can make a saint out of a sinner. God can change the history of the world. God is a God that says, come on unto me and ask, and you shall receive. Knock, and it shall be open. I am a God of grace and a God of mercy. Do business with me. But to be honest, I have a lot of people that are pushovers. They are not getting a hold of me through the Holy Spirit. Anything that happens, they roll over and die. They just get discouraged at the drop of a hat. They are not in tune with me and taking a hold of me. And I'm saying, I am God and I can do anything. Come on, come unto me and ask. Believe me, and we can get it done. That's a good message, isn't it? All right, let's pray. Lord, we came tonight to get fed. We came to get a slice of bread. We got it. We came to see each other in our faces and our hearts. We came to love each other and talk a little bit and go home and say, I have been in God's house. It's written in a book. I have a big schedule in front of me, but I got to prioritize. And I got to learn how to be a student before God. And I need solitude sometimes, but I need body life a lot. I need prayer. I need faith in you. I need a lot of joy and a lot of fun in life, rejoicing always. I need you to teach me how to be spirit-filled. I need you to break the bad habits in my life. I need the grace of God abounding toward me in every area. And we will do awesome and be built up in our divine purpose. Yes, Lord. And anyone listening that doesn't have Christ, this is an invitation for you. Jesus is here, not far from any one of us. Jesus comes right away. He's your Savior. He's knocking on the door of your heart. He's asking you by Scripture to receive Him and believe in Him. Come unto me, He said. Learn of me. I am meek and lowly. Take my yoke. Learn about my Father. My Father is the great trophy, the great purpose, the great unbelievable answer for every life on the earth, from the youngest to the oldest. Jesus Christ, God our Father in heaven. Say, Jesus, I believe in you. Raise your hand, anyone in the auditorium for the first time, saying yes to Jesus. Anyone, yes to Jesus. Yes, in Jesus' name, amen.